All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, it's rough times for the sciences.
War on science has only just begun.
Yeah, science is back, baby.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah, but, you know, the funding isn't there, and it's tough. Progress is tough, mm-hmm. especially when you have the government riding in your ass.
Neil my ass Tyson.
So I figured, what is the second best thing to paying some scientists to do scientists? To do science. Paying scientists to do scientists is a different thing.
To do scientists is OnlyFans.
Right. Yeah, that's, right.
That's what I do.
Paying scientists to do scientists is my porn site for sapiosexuals. But
you ever think about intelligence and how horny it makes you?
Yeah.
Love it.
Everybody's talking about that 36, 24, 36, but I'm all about that 180 IQ, I mean.
Give me a nerd girl.
Me so horny? No, Mensa horny.
Oh, fuck. Is this time for our biannual reading of nerd porn?
Oh, fuck. The Ernest Cline shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I found a nearby lab that was doing all kinds of dark sciences, and I just gave them $10 to fuck off.
Oh, okay. Cool. They were hungry.
Yeah.
You know, they're hungry scientists. Cool. Yeah. So now we're in the lab.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been about 4 weeks. I figure if anything was going to escape, then we would, we would see. Let's go down here. All right. Mm-hmm. So most of the specimens are dead in their tanks.
It smells weird in here.
Yeah, no. It smells like a medical mystery. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it smells like a medical mystery.
Okay. Yeah. Smells like science mystery.
It smells like a science mystery. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, broken glass. I've got some broken glass here. All right, let's get over here. Right, yeah.
Sweep it.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Well, this says, that's just a bunch of numbers. Oh, they were making they were making video game human hybrids. And Whoa. This one was SCP Secret Laboratory. Gary, don't turn around and don't panic.
Is the Dirkhamarsar in town?
Yeah, let's just go with that one.
Okay.
It's SCP Secret Laboratory.
Probably good, not for me. It's multiplayer.
Yeah. Oops. I was unpleasantly surprised. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Based on a single player game. Mm-hmm. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where we are activated to unscrew vents in airports one screw at a time.
It's the only way to do it. Unless you have mm-hmm. some kind of like really fancy, it's the upgrade on the thief simulator.
Yeah.
You know, the multi-screw.
Unscrewing things one screw at a time is basically how things are unscrewed.
Yeah. Unless you get everybody to do it at once. There are multiple ways to unscrew many things at a time. Just involves teamwork. And I think that is an important lesson. This week we're talking about SCP Secret Laboratory. Mm-hmm. This is a patron demand from Ian, who says it's set within the SCP universe, multiplayer mm-hmm. match-based game where you can be one of three or more factions depending on the server. It's a very social game and goofy as heck, so bring a mic if possible. I was hoping maybe you guys could have fun getting spooked together since the season is coming up. We didn't coordinate that.
Well, yeah, the season is fast.
Yep.
We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, yeah, my life has been kind of up in the air since I just recently moved, been mm-hmm. unpacking and stuff, and then 2020. So we weren't able to do that, Ian. Apologies.
Yeah.
I just played this briefly with some randos.
Yeah.
I did not get a chance to have the intended experience, but I did watch mm-hmm. Some matches of it as somebody who likes to watch competitive multiplayer first-person shooters and see the appeal.
Yes.
This is an incredibly robust and cool fan game.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is neat.
Yeah. Really complex from what I can see.
Yes.
Like the idea of having the three factions, this wasn't necessarily communicated when I jumped into the game and went to pick up some items on the ground and somebody just iced me. And then I was out for the rest of the match.
That there multiplayer, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. The win conditions are very complicated for this. And for people who don't know, I'm sure we've briefly mentioned SCP in this. SCP is a collaborative, creepypasta-esque kind of creative writing project, with the idea being like a Needful Things or Warehouse 13. You know, they make they grab dangerous objects, hide them away, and those dangerous objects can be like basically somebody finds a scary picture online and then writes a little short story about it.
Yes. I have always been looking for like an inroad to this, but it's very intimidating if you're coming to it, especially now in 2020, a good 10 years since the project got started. Like in the, you know, in the green room, you were saying, oh, there are like tens of thousands of these. And like when I go to the wiki, it's a real crisis of like, oh shit, like which one of these are the ones that you need to read? Because like when one just kind of bubbles up, like when I have somebody like describe, you know, the clown statue you're not supposed to look at, like that, like that's cool. I like that. That's a good that's a good little story. I like the presentation where stuff is redacted, you know, like everything is done as a like a government, you know, like a government form describing these things. I like how they can be like not just objects but creatures, but also like locations, just like like these woods are the thing in question here. All of that is cool. It's just really hard to know like which of these I should go for. And I've like what I've wanted is just like a book of those, but I understand because of the way that this kind of came up, you can't like compile them into a book and sell them.
Yeah a book would be really cool. As is like basically, back when, you know, on Something Awful, there's a thread of them, and post your favorite, which like kind of curate some of the best ones. And then they also get more like inward facing and in jokey and kind of self-referential as they go on. I said tens of thousands and I was off, but not that off. There's like 6,000 of them. I think at this point.
Well, 6,000, that's manageable. I could start at the beginning and be done by the
weekend. Start that now. Just read Time magazine from to back. If you look at the like kind of the first couple hundred, that's a good place to start. They really vary in quality like anything that's fan done. And the thing, what makes a bad SCP is what they choose to redact and how cool the author thinks redacting things is.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of the it's actually very similar to Mortal Shell lore. when we start talking about that again, where like it's just like, you know, there's constantly indecipherable text during the things you'd want to know. They do that, except they just do redacted. You can still get cool details in there. You know, you have to trust the author to know which details are cool.
Yes.
So
yeah, I could see that. I should just go dig up that thread on Something Awful if I want, you know, cool horror stuff to read for the next day or so. Is it like, you know, it feels a little bit like a like an extension of Urban Legends almost to a degree. You know,
very much so.
I've got a couple of books of like fun urban legends from around the world. Like Japanese urban legends are always really cool. I got one of those after World of Horror came out, and I was like, "What's some of this stuff based on?"
All of that stuff is, you know, extremely, you know, cool. I love urban legends. One of my first like things I ever did online was read the urban legends on Snopes.
Oh God, love it.
Basically back to back and just like spook myself real good. Like, you know, cause they were kind of scary. Like the idea of these, like, you know, tapping a wine keg and finding a corpse in it and stuff.
The like cactus full of spiders.
You know, the person who actually adopted a rat instead of a dog in Mexico is kind of racist.
Most of them are a little racist.
They're a little, you know, they're expresses of fear.
I just love that shit. Just any kind of like bite-sized horror is what I want. It's a little bit like why I love bestiaries so much, you know.
yeah Yeah, real similar thing. Like, this is, I think SCP is like the good version of creepypasta, mm-hmm. because they pretend to be real, but they try to have a uniform style that's really dry.
Yeah.
So you're not getting a lot of like,
oh my God, you guys, style. This was so scary. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Shit. That's like embarrassing.
Yeah.
And stuff. I've always liked this. I ran a Call of Cthulhu Modern campaign at one point, mm-hmm. and it was Delta Green, and I had Delta Green have a facility for this.
Oh, nice.
And had the characters go, and I had it be random, mm-hmm. which ones they ran into when they went into a room. Like, I rolled a dice and looked at a table I had made to see what kind of things they found, because a lot of them are like straight up magical items and stuff too. And yeah. the game plays with those. Like, you get the super ball that doubles in velocity every time it hits something. Which is extremely scary, well, but that's like
that's basically
a weapon in this.
That's basically Super Happy Fun Ball.
Yeah, Super Happy SCP-18.
Uh-huh.
You know, Super Happy Fun Ball. Yeah. Extremely scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Now, Delta Green also, I've been poking around ever since we found that that site that is the repository for D&D sourcebook kind of stuff. I've mm-hmm. been poking around with some Delta Green kind of things. Yeah. I never realized
Delta Green's legit.
I never realized how they do how they handle Haster in Delta Green. At least mm-hmm. here recently, one of them, like one of the groups that he is basically like an anonymous online style menace who like gets incels together.
Yeah,
you know, which is real good
For just the worst parties.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so. Delta Green's great. You don't want it to be like the bad part of Delta Green is where it gets like paramilitary kind of stuff, but like, you know,
yeah, that's super useful for a game master though.
Yeah.
Cause you have a reason to have like agents working together and be strangers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all tabletop games have that problem, but Call of Cthulhu specifically is just like mm-hmm. one of the things that whenever I run that game is like, even if you would really do this, nobody gets to run off and go be an accountant.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you can't quit. Like, mm-hmm. you know, by virtue of your character being here, you are curious.
Yes. The version the version of this that I would want it to be would be X-Files, but yeah. Mythos stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Heavily X-Files mm-hmm. Inspired. Scott Glancy, who wrote that. I did a tabletop game with that guy.
Oh yeah.
As part of a Kickstarter package for the film fest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was real weird. We didn't finish the game. Okay. And one of the guys who played the game with me dressed in an entirely head to toe in a red velvet suit.
Oh.
And I was like, oh yeah, like hanging out with other tabletop gamers is a real fucking roll of the dice.
Yeah.
It's not something where this thing that we have in common means we'll like each other.
No. I mean, specifically the narcissism of minor differences, it means we're like more likely to hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are these fucking nerds? They're not cool like me, who spent, you know, this ridiculous amount of money to play a game of Delta Green with, or play, it wasn't Delta Green, it was just Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
With Scott Glancy.
I'm looking at this. Oh my God. In Delta Green, Carcosa, quote, is a strange ghost metropolis that consumes other cities whose vice and melancholy draw the grim feaster city towards them. Feaster city. The grim feaster city.
Well, yeah. That's a good word. Oh, yeah.
God.
Smooth skin. In this game, you get to either be the scientist,
mm-hmm.
You'd be like lab rats who are escaping, or you get to be the military.
Yes,
guys in this.
When I did a couple of rounds, and both of them, I ended up being Nine-Tailed Fox, which mm-hmm. is like the military folks who were supposed to protect the scientists.
There's also something called a chaos insurgency.
Yes.
I found the rules of this a little confusing.
Mm-hmm. I think the Chaos Insurgency is supposed to be like the PvP side of this. I think I got killed when I, so the times when I got killed, basically for no reason, it was by somebody who looked like an ally who shot me. And then when you die, it does something that I like in these multiplayer shooters where it just puts you into the viewpoint of the person who killed you. And it like it mm-hmm. said, so-and-so with the Chaos Insurgency. I could see this being really fun if you played it with people that you knew, and that would be especially simple because it's free, you know, mm-hmm. you just have to find a way to set up a server or whatever. Boy, playing this with pubbies was like the bottom 10 gaming experiences that I've had, at least this year. How is the voice chat on yours, buddy?
It was pretty yelly and slurry.
Yeah,
you know,
I had I had three nightmares happen at once. One was just an ongoing argument about who was too young to be there, where a person with a grown-up dude voice would be like, "You're too young to get out of here." Little kid voice, you know, pre-puberty, you know, like, "I'm not even the youngest person here," you know, like going back and forth and saying slurs to pure, you know, to prove how mature they are or whatever. So arguing about that. The other one, people playing music, specifically a song that I have only
as well.
What song? What song did you have people doing over the
I didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, which wasn't surprising. Like, I'm fucking 40, but I did not recognize it.
Yeah. The one that I got was it's a song that I've only heard in like a TikTok that was like put up like as part of it. Somebody tweeted this out saying, I know I'm old because I have no idea what it is. It's like a TikTok that Bella Delphine, the pink haired anime orgasm phase girl, that she lip synced onto, which is like a, you know, like an anime girl song about like, ooh, let's hug, you're so cozy kind of thing. It was really bad. So I muted that person. And then once I got everybody else who was doing that muted, all that was left was just the random people who made sex noises the entire time.
I didn't get that, but I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's rough stuff.
And once I, got rid of all of them, nobody else was using voice chat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty hard to coordinate a teamwork-based game without voice chat. Like, we've talked before, but I just feel like it's an absolutely losing gambit to just like pop on one of these things and play with regular people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that regard, it's not surprising that every time you pop in, everybody is fucking pissed off because nobody is playing the game in the optimal way.
Or even just in the spirit of the game.
Right. Right.
You know, and both of those are, you know, we talked about that before. Both of those are problematic.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool about this is that they do some kind of cool video gamey twist for the SCP units. One of them is you can play as the SCP units as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a wolf creature thing.
Yep.
And its gimmick in the SCP is that it mimics human speech to attract you. So you can go on the mic and try to lure people into places.
Oh,
like
nice.
You get to team speak for them. You know, so they have to recognize your voice, and you just get to pop on and be like, "I'm not the youngest person there, you F word." And then they'll be like, "Oh, there's somebody in this closet who needs help." And then you're just the gigantic dog monster or whatever.
Ah, that's really good.
Another one is like a plague doctor guy who can raise the dead. Like he kills people and they can raise them as zombies.
Yeah.
If he gets to them in time. So you can make kind of creep.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, one of them is a sentient AI that can like open and close and lock doors and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah. You know, you think you lock a door, but it takes over the system. I think that stuff's really cool.
Yeah. There's like a lot of like cool like simulation stuff in this. Like there were, you know, locked doors in the map between you and the goals, and like you could either get the key card or you could throw a grenade to blow it open. Like really ambitious in a cool way.
Yeah. Yeah. I respect this while it just not being for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I went into this thinking that it was the other one. I thought that it was SCP containment breach, which was the you know, go and find the objects while the monsters stalk you game that was real popular with streamers. I'm kind of happy it wasn't because we did Baldi's Basics here recently.
It's basically Slender the Pages or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all basically the same. Breaking news.
Burr?
As we're writing this, or as we're recording this, excerpts have been dropping from Ready Player 2.
Oh, fuck.
The publisher has now put up a strike, and like people who are posting those excerpts are now getting those taken down. Because the maker of Ready Player 2, whose book almost entirely consists of
other
saying the names of things, other people's work, is now saying that other people cannot talk about his work.
That is pretty fucking unseemly, actually.
It's a amazing shit.
Wow.
So, and like, then also just fucking incredible stuff in this book.
Fuck's sake. Like everything, you know, obviously there's selection bias because people are sharing only the stuff that is most remarkable, but like just how predictably bad it gets, and mm-hmm. also like the, you know, the amount of time that has passed. What, the first one came in like 2012 or whatever.
Yeah,
like the weird little nods toward, like, you know, even in the game world or even in the book world, like, things got just a little bit more progressive or whatever. But like talking mm-hmm. about progressive things in like a really like backward kind of way, like talking about just, oh, somebody who got a bunch of money, maybe the hero from the first one or whatever, like distributing stuff and like setting up shelters for, like, you know, homeless queer teens, and, you know, setting up like feeding people, and at the end, like, oh, donated for food for you know, like, nothing else got a name, but then like in the last entry in the list saying like, oh, and donating for like medical research and food relief in Africa, and just for fun calling it the Wakanda Forever Foundation,
yes,
or something.
It's you still gonna have that weird stink to it. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, they can't even do good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't even write, you know, write about doing good. Like, there's mm-hmm. no actual good being done here.
Right.
But can't even handle it. And it's like, just, it's all really gross. Like, I've been having this stuff thrown into me, and even when it's not like gross, like immoral,
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, your little red Corvette won't start unless you're wearing your raspberry beret. And I'm like, I know that's Prince, but like, I can't. Like, I know we did Ready Player Fuck. We can't just do an Ernest Cline shit upon. But it has been giving me a lot of life, because I think it's actually worse than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is selection bias, but there's so many selections.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've read like 100 passages from this fucking book.
Like, the one that I saw today, just as I was, you know, fucking around on Twitter before we hopped on here, well, you know, was somebody pointing out how ridiculous it was. Like, there's an excerpt, like the bad guy in this book, kind of like does this monologue saying like, look around this fake world. It's nothing but a, like a mausoleum for shit that long dead people made that is mm-hmm. just here, and we're just kind of like constantly living this and not making anything new, and that's presented as an unreasonable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, no, it's good. Like, yeah. You are the hero reader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, man.
And so I wonder, like, if they're going around and pulling off, you know, pulling off excerpts, I wonder, because there are probably a bunch of YouTube people who got like advanced copies or whatever, who are putting together responses, and to, you know, actually review this thing, you need to talk about what's in it. I would be very curious, and by very curious, I mean, I'll get fucking really, really angry if they start doing strikes on negative reviews of people talking about it on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Because people are revealing things from it.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those ultimate, you know, oh, just have your, let people have their fun mm-hmm. Kind of things, I feel like. Where it's like, yeah, but like, also let me have my fun. I'm making fun of this really bad writing where in order to get the little red Corvette to go, you have to wear your raspberry beret.
Is, like, is that for real? Sucks. Is yeah, that's not an example that you made up?
It's wow. A, yeah, no, it's not like the worst one or anything either. Right, it just right.
No, but sucks. It's just like, what does it add up to?
Adds up to nothing.
Yeah.
Adds to nothing. Gentle reminder to everybody also that I read this for school. I read this for a college course. So the first one.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What class was that?
The geography of games.
Okay.
So it was like a weird little, you know, elective for fun thing that contributed to my major.
Okay.
That was about or geography and video games.
Okay.
You know, so it was like using games to explore spaces, using principles of geography in games, etc. So, gotcha. And this was we read this for that.
Huh. I don't care for it at all. Not one bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Extremely bad.
But seriously, going and doing polls off of it, like, I like, fuck, man, like uh-huh. that, like, people are talking about your goddamn book. Like, who's the ideal reader for this? Who are they trying to get? Like, obviously not the people who are making fun of it, but like, what do they envision as being?
It's a weird silent majority that's on that's not on Twitter,
right? You right.
know, it's yeah. it's like the my ex girlfriend who gave me a copy of the book and said that it was made for me and I would love it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Non-discerning folk.
Yeah, I, you know, I was about to say, like, it probably just speaks to me being too in my bubble that I don't know anybody who's excited about it.
Yeah. Well, the backlash has been real.
the backlash, you
know, like
against the first one.
So like if you know, there wasn't a real, like, if people had never discovered the first one, people would be more out and proud about wanting to be into the second one, I think.
Yeah.
But the first one got so, like, you know, amazingly dunked upon, and the movie got dunked upon, and they gave the Iron Giant his machine gun that he loves so much. You know.
Yeah. So. I know, it's just, what a weird misunderstanding.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Purposeful. Yeah. I don't care for it. And there's like good cyberpunk. Like, I've been reading the new Cyberpunk Red source book that came out, and like, that's just had, like, yeah, that's a game book, but also it has just a bunch of cool little, like, sci-fi world building stuff in it, you know. There's not a dearth of good stuff.
Cyberpunk didn't go away or anything. You know, we don't have to do this version of it.
Yeah, like, in the past couple of years we had a Neal Stephenson and a William Gibson book. Like, it's there.
What else, anything?
I'm trying to think, like, everything, you know, we mentioned we're recording this in, like, the lead up to Thanksgiving. Everything relates to that, but this episode comes out so long after that.
Like, yeah, never. Thanksgiving will be long over.
Yes.
We got a honey baked ham for Thanksgiving.
Spiral cut?
And I'm going to make. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any other kind?
No, I mean, yeah, there is. With the way too thick, and it's all mushy and spongy. No, you got to get the spiral cut, so you get it crispy. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then I'm also going to make a fancy version of green bean casserole with a homemade mushroom soup.
Nice.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, yeah, I've been helping set up my brother's barn to have an outdoor distance Thanksgiving. Different tables for different family members. By the time this comes out, we'll know if anybody got sick. So
hopefully, I really am hoping for you.
Same. No, I'm going to spend most of the time outside. I don't care how cold it is. So
the airport's breaking records.
Yeah,
and shit.
That GIF, the GIF of the flight paths.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Stuff. Like, I mentioned this. Have I talked about just, like, putting on the flight tracker and watching it for to be soothed?
Very briefly.
It's a thing I used to do. Like, I really loved doing that. Like, you would just put it over your entire country, or you would just put it over where you live, and then you would click on just the little plane icons, and you could see, like, what airline it was, where it was coming from, where it was going to, how many people were on it. Like, oh, yeah, that's flying over me right now. That's neat. Mm-hmm. I wonder what's going on in Montreal. And now you can't do it because it's just the sum of all your fears.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are not taking it seriously.
No.
Boy.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, may everyone listening to this,
please be safe.
Please be safe. And we will be safe. And we'll do our best.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky. I don't know anybody who's got it. Yeah. I know one guy on Facebook who had it, but he's pretty distant.
Yes.
Somebody I knew for a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody close to me has got it, as far as I know.
Nobody close to me. We have people in the community who've gotten it. There's some people who hang out in my stream chats who have mentioned it. Mentioned getting it, and that sucks, but
yeah. I'd prefer not.
Yeah. I don't know that I have anything else to say about SCP Secret Laboratory. I wish I had a better multiplayer experience with it. Good.
How long before somebody uses COVID as an SCP? Like, on the website? Do you think
I'm sure it's already
good
there.
Good taste, or do you think it's already happened?
I'm sure it's already there. Yeah. I'm waiting for the inevitable crop of shows that are about, like, Zoom dating, or, you know, just for the new season of something to have, like, oh, this is the COVID season, and, like, not like Bob's Burgers, where they have to record not in the same voice studio for the first time, like, not, you know, not the COVID season because it impacted production, but, like, this is the season where COVID is a plot point.
Yeah. I was very happy The Office still wasn't going. You know, like, it's just like, man, do I not want to see that?
No, I don't want that.
Like, no. I don't need, you know, because it's very predictable. It would feel like the, did you watch the Parks and Rec reunion?
No, I'm good having Parks and Rec in the past, actually.
Yeah, that's a good perspective on it. People really liked that thing, but I thought it was really cloying.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, also about the quarantine, but it's just very like, you know, isn't it sometimes, don't you like sometimes think like it's amazing that there are people who need to be told to keep their chin up? You know, like how that's still like having Amy Poehler be like, keep your chin up, as Leslie Knope is still a meaningful like land for them. I find that really strange. And I'm not, you know, if it helps you, it helps you. Mm-hmm. I get that. I just find it really weird. You know, like, I know I'm supposed to keep my chin up. That's the
hard part. Like the actual, like the, like
what lifting feels, it up.
Yeah. With what feels bad is knowing it should be up and exerting the effort to make it happen, because like not continuing isn't an option. And like, I still have to do my job and I still have to relate to people. So like, mm-hmm. just whatever, yeah. just, you know, like the work is the work. You know, so you go out there and keep going.
There's only so much that, like, you know, Paul Rudd telling me that things are going to be okay can actually affect me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just doesn't feel like it should. It's a weird thing for me to try to contort my brain to somebody who's like, yeah, you know?
And like if that made a difference in somebody's day, then Yahtzee. But it's an entire genre of stuff, you know, that also includes, you know, the Gal Gadot singing Imagine. Right.
Oh, like, man.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know how much of this is just is a me problem, or just I don't want to see and I don't want to hear from a celebrity ever. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it's like I don't like, just there, shit's too real. Celebrity can maybe come back at like a later time, but I don't this does not carry any weight to me, and in fact actually is kind of a nuisance, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it could even be something like incredibly good. Like, I don't know if he's done this, but like if Patrick Stewart got on and made a viral video about wearing a mask, like, cool, good. Yeah, I would still be really fucking annoyed at that.
Yeah, I still don't like imagine watching it.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't imagine watching and getting something from it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't take this seriously, but now that Leslie Knope has told me to take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now that Ron Swanson and Patrick Stewart have said, like, hey, this shit's serious, we're gonna make it.
Yeah.
Like, just the idea of ascribing meaning or deriving meaning from that is just very alien to me.
Yeah.
You know? So thank goodness The Office is dead. even though I love that show.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Oh man. Thank you. Remind me who suggested this.
This was Ian. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate you. Please stay safe.
Please do.
And to everybody else, also stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you would like to suggest a game or sponsor a game or support mm-hmm. your boys or get episodes early or go on the Slack or get bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Please do. Leave ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. And of course, tell your friends.
Yeah, that's the good shit.
Yep. So I think we're about done here. And until next time, as our friend on Twitter at Scarvis always says, I, Cole Ross, personally wish you and your family tremendous ill.